Come back Wednesday night and we'll sing that song again. You know me, we've got to sing that song on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I just love that song. We're in the middle of a series on being grateful, cultivating an attitude of gratitude. Last week we talked about counting our blessings, and that's something that makes us more aware of the blessings that we have. And today we're going to talk about expressing our gratitude for the blessings that we have. And if you're, you know, I've talked to several of you that have told me you've been counting your blessings during the week. And Greg told me, he said, I lost count. You know, I started counting them up. I just started losing count. I'm like, that's awesome. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be like. And if you haven't been able to number your blessings, and maybe you just feel down, and maybe you haven't really felt the gratitude, I'm going to give you something to think about this morning. I talked about our freedom a while ago, and this morning as I printed, I had the bulletins printed out, and I put a note on one to Tommy, and I put it in an envelope. We do every week. We send him the bulletin and send that to him, and I put a stamp on the envelope, and the stamp said freedom. And I felt guilty for putting that stamp on there. Thought maybe I should get another stamp. But I wrote a note in there, and I thanked him for serving God in difficult circumstances. So if you need a blessing to start counting this morning, count your freedom first. Starting small, starting with the basic things, the things that are good and pure and perfect that we're going to talk about from James here in a little bit, increases our awareness of what God has done for us, what He is doing for us, and it helps us to build and cultivate that attitude of gratitude. So today I want to give you three reasons to give thanks to God. And for each one, I'm going to quote some scripture, and the scriptures that I'll use, they could really fit on any of these three reasons, but I put them under three different categories. And, you know, normally my favorite way to preach and teach is from a text. And we start with one text and we just take that text apart and talk about it and all the things that it means for us to unfold it. That's textual preaching. Well, this is topical. We're talking about giving thanks. So today I'm going to give you like 18 passages from the Old and the New Testament. And if you can't keep up with writing them down, let me know, and I will be glad to email you these three headings and each of the passages that I use from the Old and the New Testament for you. First of all, the first reason to thank God and to give Him praise is because it's commanded. I mean, over and over and over throughout the Bible, it is commanded of us to express our gratitude to God. It is His will for us. And He doesn't just do that because He's some kind of egotistical God. He also knows that it is good for us. Next week, we're going to talk about how giving praise to God changes us. But today, I just want to talk about expressing it and why we should. Thanking God, praising Him, should come naturally. But our human nature often forgets that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are our source of all of our blessings. Our main text today, and I used it again, the same one from last week, is from Philippians 4. It tells us to praise God continually, to thank Him for all He has done for us. It's our human nature is displayed in a story in Luke chapter 17, where Jesus healed 10 lepers. There were 10 lepers that came along as Jesus and the disciples were walking. And they, from a distance, as they knew they were supposed to do, they had to keep their distance. And they called out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Because they knew there was no cure for leprosy, but they knew that Jesus was not just a man. He was God, and He was able to cure them. And Jesus, it said, looked at them, and He said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." That's all He said to them. Just go show yourselves to the priests. Which that's we know from Deuteronomy and Leviticus and the laws that were given back then. When a person, if they did get over their any kind of skin lesion, especially if it was leprosy, they if it was gone, they were to go show themselves to the priest. The priest could declare them clean. They would go through some ritual cleansing, and then they could become part of the assembly again. So Jesus just says, go show yourselves to the priests. And it says, and as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. It didn't happen right away. It was as they were making their way to the priests, they got there and they showed themselves to the priest. And one of them came back to express his gratitude. One of them, verse 15 of Luke 17 says, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus, shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And just coincidentally, this man was a Samaritan who the Jews hated. And Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. I don't think the man ever made it to the priest the first time. I think on the way to the priest, as Jesus told him, he saw that he was healed. And rather than going and taking care of that business, he came back to give God the thanks that he deserved. Jesus gave thanks to the Father on several occasions. In Matthew chapter 11, when he is teaching the disciples, and it's one of those moments where they got it, and a lot of times they didn't get it, but this time they got it. When he was teaching them and they got it, he said, oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, and for revealing them to the childlike. He gave thanks for that thing where people, followers of his, were getting it. They understood some kingdom things. And Jesus stopped and gave God the glory for revealing it to them. And when he raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11, Jesus gave God the glory and the thanks before he even called him out of the tomb. When Jesus asked for the stone on Lazarus's tomb to be rolled back, Martha pushed back and she said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. This is, you don't want to open that. But Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? Already he's saying it's God's glory. And so they rolled the stone aside. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and he said, for everyone there to hear, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all those people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. And then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And I love the next verse, the dead man came out. But Jesus, before he did that miraculous thing, he's already giving God the credit and the glory and the thanks for everyone there to hear. Yes, giving God thanks should come naturally. And Jesus showed us by his example. And in case we don't find it natural, it is commanded over and over throughout the Bible for us to be thankful. So I'm going to give you just a few more scriptures about this commandment to be thankful. In Colossians 4, Paul tells the church, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind. And as Todd talked about at the table this morning, when we are thinking with an alert mind of everything that's going on around us in the world right now, we should devote ourselves to prayer, thinking of everything that's going on around us. And then he also says, with a thankful heart. Keep that attitude of gratitude for what God has done for you. Paul said to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, always be joyful. That's not easy, but it's something we're supposed to do. Always be joyful. Look for those things. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. The Psalms. I could give you probably 50 verses from just the Psalms on being thankful. Psalm 136, I thought about using this as our call to worship this morning. It's one of those interactive psalms between the leader of the person who is leading the people in worship and the crowd that is worshiping. It starts out, the leader says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And the crowd comes back, his faithful love endures forever. And then the leader goes on and says, give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. Nobody else. Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully. Give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. Give thanks to him who made the heavenly lights, who made the sun to rule the day and the moon and stars to rule the night. And each time the crowd says back, his love, his faithful love endures forever. And this psalm continues with a history lesson of so many of God's mighty actions and blessings for his people, for the world, and the creation that he has given us. And you just stop and look at the stars. Go out and look at the stars tonight. It gets dark plenty early now, so you can do that. If you have an early bedtime like me, you can still do it. If you look at the sun during the day, you look at the oceans, you look at the trees that we are so blessed to have in this part of our world, and everything in nature cries out to the Creator who has blessed us with it. Throughout the Scriptures, we are told to be thankful. And with several of them, there are reminders of why. It's not just do this, but there are reminders of why. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him, praising him with holy fear and awe, giving him thanks. Our kingdom is unshakable. The kingdoms of this earth are very shakable. And they are crumbling. We're seeing the wars that go on between them. But our kingdom is unshakable, the one we are going to receive. In Hebrews 13, after it talks about everything that Jesus has done, that Jesus is now our high priest, and he has offered the sacrifice once and for all that we ever need, that's forgiven our sins past, present, and future. And he also says, then we can, through Jesus, our high priest, continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving. And it says this, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. That's a fruit that the Lord loves. Our praise that is on our lips is a fruit that is sweet to him. And he said, and don't forget to do good and to share with others. I think we need to share that thanksgiving with others as well. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul reminds us, he's talking about in Galatians, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, but he hints at it here in Ephesians 5. He says, we should be thankful because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And he says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now it's starting to get more specific. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank him for your blessings. As we sing to each other, we thank him for our blessings and we are giving a testimony to him. That's the second thing second reason for us to express our gratitude to God. It glorifies God and it serves as a testimony. Whenever we sing to each other in here, we are singing about everything that he has done for us. Sean has led us in songs that talked about this peace, perfect peace that we have been blessed with from him. It doesn't come in this world. This world is everything but peace. But that's one of the blessings. And as we sing about it to each other, we are reminding each other as a testimony of what he has done for us. And as we are in the world and working around other people, we are supposed to give a testimony of how he has blessed us. In Colossians 3, Paul said, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. So we're supposed to teach and counsel each other, and we're supposed to let that spill over in our lives. We sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do, whatever you say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, through him, to God the Father. Whatever we do, whatever we're working, whenever we're playing, whenever we're out in the world, we're supposed to do it as a representative of the Lord and give thanks to God the Father. So giving thanks is your testimony. Psalm 50, The Lord says, giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you want to honor the Lord, give thanks to him. And he says, if you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. If you honor me with your thanks, I will show you the way. Psalm 92 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. I don't know how many times that phrase is repeated in the Psalms, but it's a lot. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening. So count those blessings and thank him for them. Back in the Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles 16, when David had appointed Asaph and a bunch of the Levites as priests to serve the people, he taught them a song to sing to the people. And it goes like this: give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. We're proclaiming. He said in verse 9, sing to him. Yes, sing his praises and tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Tell others about what he has done. It is part of your testimony. And the third thing that I think, or third reason we should praise God and give him the thanks outwardly, is because it helps us to see God's hand working in our lives. The more we talk about what he is doing, the more we begin to see what he is doing. It becomes clearer. When I hear you talking about things that he is doing in your life, I start to look for what he's doing in mine, and vice versa. We build each other up that way. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, when Moses was saying his farewell to the people, when they were about to go into the promised land, Moses warned them about failing to acknowledge God's blessings. He lays out all these blessings and curses. He said, if you do these things, if you remember God, you'll be blessed. And if you forget him, you'll be cursed. And towards the end, in Deuteronomy 28:45, he says, if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and to obey the commands and decrees that he is giving you, all these curses will pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed. These horrors of these curses will serve as a sign and a warning among you and your descendants forever. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you have received. So we are supposed to thank him just like they were, with joy and enthusiasm. And that joy should overflow in our lives and be seen outwardly. It should be seen in public. Back to the psalmist, he said in Psalm 28, praise the Lord, for he has had mercy. He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield, and I will trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy, and I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. The more I think about and list his blessings, and the more I give him thanks, it just overflows. My cup runs over, and it comes out in song. And it doesn't matter what your singing voice is. Just sing to him. It's all beautiful. In Psalm 9, he says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. It's more testimony. Now, sometimes you may hear people thanking God for some things that don't really seem appropriate. And I know this happens. You know, I've heard people thanking God for things like a job that has them so busy and has them doing some things maybe that kind of stretch their moral boundaries. Like, okay, is that really a blessing from God? You know, check yourself there. Or maybe a blessing that keeps them too busy to serve God and too busy to show up for worship because, you know what, I've got so much to do that I'm so blessed. I'm like, is that a blessing? Or the ultimate, and I see this not too terribly often, but when I do, it gets my attention, when they thank God for another person that they abandoned their spouse for. I see that happen. Yeah, I've got this new person in my life, and Lord, I thank you. I know you sent him or her, and I'm like, I don't know. You need to go back and check yourself. James reminds us how we should judge whether or not what we see as a blessing is really from God. He says in chapter 3, verse 16, don't be misled. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 16. Don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. That should cause us to be a little more selective, maybe, in what we call a blessing. So if something is pulling you away from serving God, if something is pulling you away from your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with His church family, stop and ask yourself, is that something that is good and perfect? If it's not, then check yourself. And again, as you're listing your blessings, think about things that God has blessed you with. And I hope that you will list them and you will outwardly express them. And I hope that one of the things on your list is your spouse or your significant other, someone in your life, or maybe it's your children or grandchildren or all of them. And you may say, well, they're not perfect. But remember, in Jesus, we are. In Jesus, we are all made perfect. Husbands, you're supposed to love your wives as much as Jesus loved the church. That's a high standard. In Psalm 105, it says, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the whole world know what He has done. Sing to Him, yes, sing His praises. Tell everyone about His wonderful deeds. Exult, or be like overjoyed in His holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for His strength and continually seek Him. We search for Him and we're thinking about Him. When we think about the things that He has done, we're reminded of them. And in the next verse, remember the wonders He has performed, His miracles and the rulings He has given. As we praise Him, as we tell others what He has done, we hear what He has done. We are more aware of His hand working in our lives. Psalm 103, the last one from this section. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am, with everything that I have, praise the Lord. And may I never forget the good things He does for me. Yesterday evening, I was thinking about life and thinking about this lesson again, and reminded of periods of my life where I wasn't faithful, where I was living in rebellion, or I was trying to live with a foot in two worlds. And I was just led to gratitude that of His patience that Wayne talked about in class this morning. He is long-suffering and patient because He doesn't want any of us to be lost. And it led me to feel guilty and shame, but it also led me to, like, okay, forget that. Just praise God. That's what Paul talked about in Ephesians. When you used to live the way you live, don't get down on yourself. Just be grateful for what God has pulled you out of and the life that He has given you now. The psalmist in 103 goes on and says, He forgives all my sins. He heals my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things, those good and perfect things from above. My youth is renewed like the eagles. He doesn't punish us for all our sins. He doesn't deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love towards those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. If you need something to start your gratitude list, that one right there is amazing. He has removed your sins as far from you as the east is from the west. They're not a cloud over your head. They're not something trailing you everywhere you go. They are as far away from you as the east is from the west. So wrapping up, as we thank God for what He has done, and as we praise Him, we are doing what He has told us to do. We are praising and thanking God, but it's not just for His benefit. He knows us. He created us, and He knows it's good for us as well. Next week, we'll talk about how it changes us. When we are glorifying Him and we are telling others about His wonderful deeds, and we are inviting them to come to Him, That is glorifying Him. We are reminding each of us, our brothers and sisters, of His constant working in our lives. That opens our eyes to see Him. Praising Him and thanking God makes us more aware of His hand redeeming us, leading us, correcting us, disciplining us, forgiving us, and continuing the work in us that He promised to complete, Paul talks about in Philippians. So my challenge for you this week, keep on counting your blessings, keep on counting them, but write some of them down, two or three things a day. just two or three things, and spend the day, throughout the day, pull that note out of your shirt pocket or out of your purse, set an alarm on your phone to remind you, and focus on those things and express your gratitude to Him frequently throughout the day. Thank Him. And when you're able, publicly do it. If you've got social media, then list some things that you're thankful for. Give God the praise. You know, I have friends that say, you know, when I ask them, and you probably have people like this, when you say, how are you doing? They'll come back with better than I deserve. And you know what? And they're Christians. And when I hear that, I know they're a Christian. Because yes, when you're alive and walking around on two feet, if you're alive and taking in breath in your lungs, yep, we're doing better than we deserve. Or though you could say things like, well, God has been really good to me. I am blessed. Or whatever it is that you want to say, it's an opportunity because you know people are going to ask you, how are you doing? And our standard response is fine. Come back with something that glorifies God a little bit in a small way. I'm blessed. I'm, you know, somebody told me recently, I'm God's favorite. And they said, but the good news is you are too. And I'm like, I like that. It's a small way to glorify God and give thanks. And as you do that, as you list some things, as you give Him the thanks, then watch for His hand working and see if you don't become more aware of what He's doing. And that's going to lead you to more praise, more gratitude. And you won't outgive Him, I promise you. Next week, we'll talk about how this cultivating this attitude of gratitude begins to change us inside. And we'll have more scripture about that. Let's pray together.